Welcome to the Sarah Centrella Show. Join best-selling author, master life coach, and manifesting expert Sarah Centrella as she shares tips, tools, and inspiring interviews to help you create your dream life. It's time to hustle and thrive. Now, here's your host, Sarah Centrella.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Sarah Centrella Show. Yay! Today we are going to be talking about love. Everybody likes to talk about love, and even more so, we like to talk about how to manifest love. And better than that is some good love stories. And I have one of the best, one of my favorite recent love stories. And by recent, I mean the last couple of years, that I have heard in a long time. Nancy Bruce, welcome to the show. I'm so stoked to have you on here. Cannot wait to get into all things love. Welcome.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you. I am so happy to be here. It's so great to see you.
Oh my gosh. We go kind of way back, a couple of years at least.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Or more like 5 or 6 years, right?
Yeah. I mean, Time all blurs together at this point.
It does.
But my listeners will probably know you from season one of my show when you were on talking about the love of your life, which you had manifested. I think at that time you had not gotten, or you hadn't gotten married. You were planning the wedding, I think.
Oh, right.
But the very first time that I met you was at Sherry Salata's house 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember when we were doing our future boards and we were talking about love, how you were describing how you wanted to manifest love. And I think this was before you met. So tell us everything. Tell us your love story first, and then we'll get into some tips.
Okay. Well, yeah. So you and I met several years ago, and I wasn't seeing anyone. I was living in Los Angeles. So I was wanting love and dreaming about love, but it was absolutely not showing up for me. And, you know, it's funny because I got divorced in my mid-30s, and I dated for 20 years. And I mean, I really dated. I was not a wallflower. I was not hanging out on the sidelines. I was in it. So I dated in Chicago for, you know, 15 years after my divorce. And I did all kinds of dating apps, and I did matchmaking services, and I, you know, I dated some men here and there, but I could not find a person who I thought was the match, was the one, right? No one who made my heart sing.
The connection.
The connection. And, you know, that's really what I was looking for. I was looking for something big and lasting. So I moved to LA and I dated in LA, and I also didn't meet anyone. And then I moved up to Seattle because my son had moved back to Seattle. He's a naval officer, and he moved up here. He was redeployed. My daughter and I moved in this area, the Pacific Northwest. I've never lived here before.
That's a big switch from LA.
It was a big switch. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know a soul. And I started dating. And, you know, here's the thing. Right before I moved to Seattle, I decided to Zoom home to Cleveland. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio originally, and Zoom home and see my mom and dad and see my family and some friends. And I happened to be hanging out at a neighborhood joint, and the old flame, the guy that I had the crush on all through school from the fourth grade till graduation, the guy. And I swear to you, now in retrospect, I can tell you this is true. He was the template for all the guys that I'd been dating for years and years and years. He was the, you know, the bad boy, mm-hmm. and also the class clown, and also the big personality, and Mr. Popular, you know, played all the sports. He was the cool kid. And he was just the most elusive fish in the sea to me. I mean, he dated all my friends. I went to a very small high school. Like there was like 100 people in my graduating class. He dated, I swear to you, all my friends. He never dated me once. I think he never even saw me. And then there I was hanging out. And this was, I was about, you know, 55 years old. And he walked in and he said, oh, wow, look at you. And I was like, and I literally almost looked behind me like, who are you talking to? Yeah. And then we had this huge whirly-dirly whirlwind of a romance. And it blew the roof off. Like I thought, this is it. This is my love story. Oh, wow. How cool. Yeah. Right. I find the guy, you know, decades later, I circle back to my first crush, my fourth grade crush.
And like, that's it has to be my meant to be. It's meant to be.
Meant to be. Oh my gosh. So no, the universe had far different plans for me because it was not meant to be. It was
Why was I not surprised by that?
It was the most unstable, unhinged, you know, crazy, up and down, huge, volatile, you know, every big love bombing to begin with, you know, talking about marriage within 3 days. You know, he's literally picking out the playlist for our wedding. I swear to you, like 72 hours after we hooked up,
wow.
He's like, oh my gosh, he's flying to Seattle. I'm flying back to Cleveland. We have this 3 month big, huge love affair. And my head is just all turned around. And I finally, the clouds start to part and I start seeing like, this is not meant to be. No, and this is really crazy pants. And it's also not sustainable. And I don't even, we have nothing in common. And this, right. He's not really the kind of guy I'm looking for. So I realized that the template, the guy that I'd been, this vision of the guy that I had been pursuing for all these years was not the right guy for me at all.
The track was stuck and it wasn't on the right track.
Right. And I was like, I was repeating the patterns and I could see that now. It's like, oh my gosh, I always go for the big love bomb because I feel like if it's not over the top and showy, it's not real. Yeah. I always go for the big life of the party, big personality, because I feel like he's got to be big and bodacious. Yeah. You know, I don't want to overshadow anyone. Right. Like I, you know, there were so many patterns and habits that I could see started there. And so I backed myself out of that relationship, and weeks went by, and I was hanging out and I was starting to get onto dating apps again in Seattle. And I get a text message from him and it's like, hey, I just wanted to say hi, you know, how are you doing? And I thought, oh, that's nice. You know, hey, listen, we're both from the same small town. We know all the same people. Let's keep it friendly. Right. So, you know what I'm saying? So I wrote back at like, oh, you know, hi, hope you're doing well too. Very simple. Well, I get back a text message as long as my arm, like 2 minutes later. And I know he had it teed up because it takes him forever. So he had it all teed up and it was all about how he met someone new and he's having the time of his life with her. And she's an amazing cook and his kid loves her and the family loves her. Oh, and by the way, that's not all. He's hanging out with all my high school girlfriends again. They're all going out to parties. I mean, it was a text message designed to hurt my feelings.
Yeah. And you're like, now I know why you're toxic.
Now I know. It did. Yeah. It hurt my feelings. And so I sat down on the couch and I said to myself out loud, I was home by myself. I said, Nancy, if you want a different love story, you have to look for a different kind of man. That was the moment. And this was about, I don't know, 5 o'clock on a Saturday. And guess what? I had a date lined up for an hour later, right down the street.
No way.
Yeah, I did. And I was like, that's the last thing I want to do. I don't want to go on a date. I have tears on my face. I feel sad. I'm going to pick myself back up. This is not going to be the end of the story, but I don't feel great right now.
Right.
But it was too late to cancel. So I went into the bathroom. I fluffed my hair. I did my lipstick. I said, okay, put my dating uniform on, just get out the door. And I walked into a restaurant at the end of my street and called Mama Molina's, a little Italian place. And I walked in and there sat David Bruce, the man who I'm now married to.
The true love of your life.
The true love. But I'm really serious. I don't think that I would have seen him in the light that I saw him in that evening, David.
Yep.
This like, okay, I'm looking for something different. I don't think that I would have had that clarity if it had not been for the gut punch of that text from the old flame. I think I needed it. I needed to shake myself out of that pattern. Really and truly.
See so clearly, like, whoa, in a giant red flag, this is everything that you do not want. And you don't want to repeat it. You don't want it again. You don't want to go through it again. Yeah. So what is different? Did you I love everything about all of that. I love that you were still open, first of all, to even get back out there, you know, like it is when they call it a jungle, it's a jungle. It's dating is crazy. And I'll just share with you kind of a little bit of my dating story. Like after my divorce, I dated, you know, did how they always say after the divorce is like crazy period. Right. So I did my dating, but with the very clear, like, intention that I did not want another relationship. I wanted to raise my kids by myself. I just did not want to. I knew they had been through something so traumatic that they were going to take all needed to have all of my focus as their parent to give them the best life and childhood they could. So that was like day one, that was my decision. So I never dated seriously. No one had ever met my kids. To this day, no one's ever met my kids. It was kind of a personal thing. But then after a couple of years, and it was, you know, dating apps way back, plenty of Fish Time, Match Time way back then, right? And then I was like, wow, this kind of sucks. This pulls your energy. It like doesn't feel good. It's an emotional roller coaster. And so I took 7 years off. I didn't talk to anyone for 7 years.
Wow.
No sex, no kissing, no texts. And I don't think I ever thought I was going to be like super long term or that long. It was just like, this doesn't feel good. So I'm going to focus on me and I'm going to focus on my kids. And that's what I did. And then I woke up one day and I was like, oh, so my son's been in college for 2 years. My daughters are about to graduate high school. I guess that time has come to, you know, start opening up, getting back out there. And I have lots of questions for you later. It's been a learning curve for sure. But I think what has helped me is to get clarity on what it is that I want. And I've always known since day one that I would meet the love of my life when the time was right. So I've never not believed that. And I still believe that strongly to this day. It's just kind of crazy that now the timing is starting to be here and it feels a little different. But did you do anything like that to get clear before, you know, you went and met David when you realized like, hey, I don't want what I just had. Thanks for good reference of what that was. Had you spent any time really thinking about what this new love could look like or this new man
could look like
that would help you recognize him when you met him?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, yes, absolutely. Did I think of anything else? I feel like it's all I thought about. I talked about it with people. I talked about it with Dr. Laura Berman and also with Bella Gandhi, who is the founder of the Smart Dating Academy in Chicago, who I love. She was at my wedding, mine and David's wedding in Cleveland. It was great. I talked about it with friends. I talked about it with myself. I mean, I journaled about it. I thought about it because I did want to get really clear. I'm like you, Sarah. I did not want to get remarried right away. After I got divorced, my kids were young and yours were too. Mine were 4 and 7 when I got divorced from their dad. And I liked raising my kids by myself.
And honestly,
I wouldn't have changed it. If I could press a reset button and do it all over again, I'd do it the same way. I loved it. It was the three of us, my son and my daughter. And it was wonderful. And I didn't have to worry about another personality that I couldn't, you know, maybe predict. You know, I didn't want that. I didn't want that unpredictable stuff.
By the way, because I feel like whenever I say that, people are like, you're insane. Like, why? You know, and I was just like, I can't really explain it to someone who hasn't been there. But I love that you did that too. It's rare. I don't usually meet someone who made that choice because it is definitely, you know, maybe it's, some people see it as a sacrifice, but
it was a complete and total privilege to be their mom.
It was the
privilege and the blessing of my life. Are you kidding? I love those years. I look back on them so fondly. And you know, I think that it's one of those things where if you haven't ever been divorced with children, you don't really know what it's like. And if you know what I mean, those of us who have traveled that road really know. And the same is true of dating in midlife. You know, it's like, it's one thing to, I read everything. I read all the articles and the books, but I mean, I literally have been there. Unless you've been sitting on a bar stool, nursing a glass of Chardonnay, talking to a stranger and thinking to yourself, oh my God, how long do I have to sit here? How do I have to get out here? You don't really know what it's like. And it's, you know, the truth is that, you have to get real clarity about what it is you're looking for. And that's easier said than done. That whole mindset shift to opening up to receiving love is big stuff. And it's not just about, I want to stay positive. You know, it's not just about that. Who are you right now? What are you looking for? And why does that matter to you? What are the feelings you want to feel in love? Not just what are his attributes or her attributes,
it's
like, well, how do I want to feel? And I got very clear, and this is interesting because I never would have had this realization if I hadn't done this work. Because I always thought, well, he has to be super tall because I'm very tall. I'm 6 feet tall. He's got to be tall. He's got to be, you know, funny and smart and handsome and this and that. And then I started thinking about, with the help of Dr. Berman, I started thinking about, well, how do I want to feel? Okay, well, here's how I want to feel in a relationship. I want to feel grounded. I want to feel safe, secure. Yeah. I want to feel cherished and adored and seen and heard. And because those are things that I had never really felt in a relationship.
Right.
I have felt swept away and swept off my feet, but that's like nothing. That's like the stuff of clouds. That's nothing.
Absolutely.
So I got very clear about that. And interestingly, as universal intelligence would have it, interestingly, that is exactly what I feel with David. I feel like I've never felt safer, more secure, more grounded, more appreciated for who I really am.
Yeah.
And all my colors, all my various shades of everything. Yes. I can be myself. And he loves every bit of it. And I've never felt that way before because I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for something else. I was looking for like
the big hit. Because I mean, we have been sold that story since the amount of time, you know, like we've all watched those movies from the time we were born of the prince. He comes along, he like rocks your world, you know, like, and so I think women, even if you don't think you do, somewhere deep down there, you are kind of waiting for that. And if you don't understand like how you want to be treated, how you want to feel, like the real pieces of what a true relationship is like, then yeah, you're going to fall for that. And I absolutely did. My first person I met after 7 years of not talking or not dating. And I think I want to ask you about this too, because when I met him and I had done all my clarity, I'd written everything down. It was clear as can be. I wanted to meet him in real life, just all this stuff. And wasn't looking, had just maybe 2 months before been like, oh, you know, the kids are old enough. Maybe at some point in the future, I'll be open. Had not been on a dating app for years. And literally it was like someone introduced us and it was just boom, like boom, boom. It was like immediate, right? And all I saw was all the things on my checklist. I didn't see anything else. I was like looking for everything, right? It was like, he's got to fit it. And it was the love bombing. And it was just all of those things that I kept on saying, well, this has to be, it has to be meant to be, he has to be perfect for me. Right. It turned out to be like the most toxic, destructive, it was a full blown narcissist, the whole, anything you can imagine. It was all that. And it was a year that just really, really messed me up, like threw me off my axis for sure. And I think so much, it was so hard because of that initial kind of convincing that I did of myself, saying he has to be the one, like from minute one, because I see some of these things, just like how you're talking about your one before, where it was like, oh, well, this is full circle. They always say, if you let it go and it comes back, it's meant to be. So like, I have to buy into this. And I think that alone, like made me stay so much longer than I should have, made me not see any of the red flags and all of that. Like, have you seen that happen to other people? And what do you, I mean, how do we kind of avoid that? Because we do want to be clear, but there's a difference between that, I think, and convincing ourselves that they match what I've written before. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. I mean, first of all, starting with what you talked about in a minute ago, we have all been sold this story, this fairy tale. And if you are like any woman I know, all of us love those rom-com fantasies. So, I mean, who doesn't? Right. I love a rom-com and I wish life were a rom-com, but it is not.
Right.
I mean, there's no script. There's no director. Nancy Meyer isn't directing it. I mean, we are out here on our own. And you said it before, it's a bit of a jungle and you have to have your wits about you. And that's why starting with clarity is so important. But what you just were talking about with this guy, that's where it comes, that breaking old patterns comes in.
Yeah. And also, and it was a total old pattern, just it was disguised a total, into something that looked new, but it wasn't new.
Yeah. And it's there to teach you something about your patterns. And so here's when I talk to people about this, this is what I say. Don't so much look at his behavior, look at your response, because that's what has to change. His behavior is his business. Let him, you know, bless you and be on your way. You're not going to change him, but look at your response. I once had a first date that lasted 11 hours and ended in a marriage proposal. Here's the question. Did you turn and run for the hills? Oh no, I stuck around for 3 months until that relationship imploded, which of course it was always going to. It was crazy. But I thought love bombing was the way to happiness.
I did too. Cause I was like, oh, affirmations is my love language. So he speaks my love language.
Love language.
First person
yeah.
to ever speak it. And I was like, oh, this is it. You know, no one had ever spoken it or got me like that. I was like, now I understand what a true narcissist does and how they like the whole thing. But
But again, the important thing is not what a true narcissist does. It's what you do.
How I react. Yeah.
When you're around that person, because those people exist and you are going to meet them and that is going to happen. That's not your business. Your business is how you respond. And that's what getting clear means. It means getting clear about your response. And here's something that we all do. And I mean, I did it. I made a career out of this, ignoring red flags. That was my specialty.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you kidding? I could ignore a red flag all day long because if he's cute and funny and dreamy and sexy, I'll ignore the fact that he's flirting with the bartender. I'll ignore the fact that he's looking around the room
or ignoring me
or not asking me a single question about myself in 3 hours. I'll ignore that if he's cute and dreamy. Yeah. So it's like red flags are there for a reason. And it's all about following your intuition. And we all love to talk about intuition, right? And following our inner wisdom. And that's very much the language of today. We're all talking about it. Well, it only works if you listen to it.
If you follow it 100%.
Yeah.
I love what you just said about it isn't what they're doing. It's paying attention to your reactions. Mm-hmm. Because I remember a couple months into it, I was talking to a friend and I was like, I don't know who I am right now because in real life, I'm confident. I know myself really well. I mean, I do this work every single day. I don't just preach it. I actually do it every single day. I practice it, right? But this was the first time in my life I ever felt anxious attached. I didn't even know what that was before. But then I started learning about it and I was like, oh my God, textbook. And how is this possible? I didn't even know this was in my personality. It's never shown up ever with anyone else. It's never showed up in any other situation. But every interaction brought that out in me in a way I could not control. I felt like, what is going on? And so I love that you said that because had I known a little bit, now I've done a lot of reading, a lot of studying since, so that it was a huge blessing in so many ways because now I am learning about relationships and learning about myself in them. But I think like, had I known even a little bit, I would have been like, oh, it shouldn't turn you into a person you don't like. That is a sign.
It shouldn't turn you into a person you can't recognize.
No.
I mean, that's the thing. When you start behaving in ways that not only your friends are raising their eyebrows at you, but you're raising your eyebrows at yourself.
Like, what's wrong with me?
What's wrong with you? Then you know that you're like in the tall grass. You know, you're lost. You've lost your way. And the thing is that here's what happens. So you meet someone like the guy that you're describing and you're ignoring the red flags left and right. But here's why, because this is another form of kind of conditioning that we all go through. We are built in a mindset of scarcity when it comes to love. We think there's one soulmate or get him while you're still young and hot, or, you know, make sure you don't lose your chance for love.
So much competition.
There's so much competition. And there's a scarcity mindset that is working against you when it comes to that. And if you don't realize and bust out of that, you're going to believe it. The truth is, it's never too late to fall in love. You're never too old. I hear this all the time. There are no good guys where I live. Yes, there are. Yes, there are.
Yes.
There are men everywhere. There are people, potential matches everywhere, but you don't really believe it. So you're holding on to this one thing, even though you know he's toxic and you don't feel good and you don't recognize yourself because you're thinking this might be my last chance.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious what your take is on app dating. I mean, almost everyone that I know that's an adult, that is.
Yeah.
For the most part, like that's the only way they've dated for the last 10 plus years, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there's a lot of downside to it. If you're not careful, I think it can really like destroy your confidence. And like, how do you navigate some of those, or how do you make it a more healthy experience? I think for a lot of people that I know, it turns you really jaded. It, you know, just brings out again, a side of you that you might not like. It's constant rejection. Every time you're checking, there's someone who's unmatched you or this, that, or that. So like, how do you go into it with a different mindset, maybe with like a fresh mindset, and make sure that it's something that is good for your mental health and isn't doing those other things?
Okay. Well, first of all, dating sites, dating apps are, can be, and let's look at it in this way, as a gateway to possibility. Mm. You are going to meet so many more people online than you will ever meet in your day-to-day life. I don't care who you are. And I don't care how many clubs you join or how much traveling you do. The truth is that that's rom-com land, right? Where you think you're gonna meet the love of your life picking out avocados at Whole Foods. Too many movies. It might not happen. I know people that happened for. I know a woman in her 60s who's married for 10 years, and she and her husband met standing in line to get on an airplane. Yeah, and they happened to be seated next to each other, and yay, wedding bells. That's wonderful. That is a rarity. So I when people tell me that they're so nervous about dating apps, I will tell you this. I have been on, you know, a dozen different apps in three different cities. And I treated it like a fun project. Mm-hmm. And I put my project manager hat on and I had fun with it. Yeah. And I didn't let it, you know, destroy me or destroy my confidence. Right. I just didn't take those rejections very seriously at all. And I think of people who don't match with me, I think of that as a gift.
A blessing.
Thank you.
It's a blessing. Yeah.
Be on your way. Please do not waste my time. I mean, I'd much rather have that than have to drag myself to a date with someone who wasn't a potential, you know, partner. But right. I mean, I met David on Hinge. And David was living in Bellingham, Washington. I was living 90 miles south of here in Seattle. We would have never crossed paths.
Yeah.
So, I mean, dating apps are a gateway to a whole bunch of people that you're not going to meet in real life. And it's very much, it can be a very, very fun little social experiment that you have right. with yourself. If you approach it with that mindset and with that energy, if you approach it like a chore, and like drudgery and, I've got to look through my matches. Oh, you know, if you approach it like that, then sure. It's going to feel terrible. You're going to hate it.
Yeah.
But you know, there are ways to do it that you can treat it like a fun project. There are ways to do it to make it work for you. And, you know, always be safe, obviously, safety first, mm-hmm. always make sure you're vetting people, you know, always make sure you even are doing background checks if you feel called to do that. And, you know, there's a way to keep all that on the up and up, but you know, to say out of the gates, you know, I don't want to go on any dating apps. Here's my concern for you then. It really does decrease your chances. It does. Right. Unless, you know, and listen, if you want to hire a matchmaking service, great. Matchmaking services can be wonderful. They're expensive.
Right.
If you can afford it, wonderful. And if you live in a place where that's even available, wonderful.
Matches even that. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, dating apps are available everywhere and for everyone.
Right.
And when if you say there are no good guys on dating apps, yes, there are. That's where all the guys, most guys are and women are on dating apps. That's how to meet them.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said too for setting your filters higher, like setting your bar high and setting your filters high. I know I was talking to a girlfriend and she was talking about, like, you know, 50 some odd matches. I was like, how? Like if your filtering system is good enough, you should have 5 or 6.
Right.
Like, honestly, you know what I mean?
There
should be no 50. And so, like, setting all those filters at the baseline that, you know, at least as long as they're not lying, that the baseline meets your baseline criteria and you're messing with the outlier, you know?
This is the thing. So being honest, we talked about clarity a few minutes ago. So this is where clarity comes in really handy. Be clear with yourself and with everyone else. Be honest about what you're looking for. If you're looking for a monogamous, committed relationship, say so.
Yes.
Do yourself a favor and say so. Don't be coy.
Right.
Or don't think that, oh, I don't want to turn anyone off. Yeah, turn them off.
Exactly. You don't want them anyway.
If who are looking for hookups. I mean, people are out there looking for, like, non-monogamous stuff all the time.
Right.
If that's what you're looking for, fine. But if it's not, be honest. Be clear about what you are looking for. But here's what I say. I call this looking underneath your nevers.
Yeah.
So we all have nevers, things that we're never going to do. There are two kinds of nevers: boundaries, which are healthy and good, and blocks, which are something that you should consider letting go of. So boundaries, a boundary for me is I don't like to be around men with, like, really quick hair trigger tempers.
Right.
That makes me super uncomfortable. I don't like it. So that propensity of emotional volatility is a boundary for me. Healthy. Great.
Yeah.
I also had what I thought was a boundary that I finally got rid of. And that was, I could never date anybody who's shorter than 6 feet tall. Now I'm going to say this, this was a block. This was a block because I am super tall. I was tall at a super young age. I never went out with boys in high school. I didn't go to prom. I didn't go to homecoming dance. Nobody ever asked me out because I was like 6 feet tall. I was taller than the high school football coach. And I had some childhood stuff around that that I dragged with me into adulthood. And then I would say, I'm not dating anyone under 6'2". Okay, well, guess what?
That makes a very small pool.
Very small pool.
Even on dating apps, it makes a small pool.
Very. And I'll tell you, it's not because I don't find shorter men attractive. It's because I was worried that they wouldn't find me attractive. And once I got clear about that, and once I got clear about the fact that I don't want to wear high heels anyway, because that was another lie I told myself. I want to be able to wear high heels. Right. Then I got rid of that block. And then... thank goodness I did, because I'm married to somebody who's 5'11".
So
think of it this way. When you are putting together your profile and you're being honest about what you want, also ask yourself, are there any blocks that I could get rid of? And what would getting rid of them look like for me in the dating world? How would it be like to date without those blocks?
Yeah.
And you know, openness, open the gates.
Right. I love that. I have two questions. One is, do you think it's good to have, so for me, communication is literally everything. Like if we cannot have good conversations, have in-depth conversations, if you don't respond, like it just, it's going to be all bad lane for me. Right. So I've learned how to just even initially in the first couple back and forth, how to vet if someone can communicate really well before I'm even going down a lane, just because I know how critical it is for me. Do you suggest that that people kind of find ways that they can, in the process of getting to know someone, kind of find out some of these things? Like, for instance, I'll, you know, ask a question that I'll either get a one word answer back from someone who I know is just not going to be in my communication lane, or I'll get a paragraph back where they will then ask me a question. I'm like, okay, you're in my lane. You know what I mean? And so Have you seen things like that kind of help with the filtering system? Because I think that is where, you know, a lot of women, and just lately, I feel like I know a lot of women who are looking for love or who are out there dating. Yeah. And it's crazy how the standards can really be lowered and how easily it is for us to convince ourselves that the wrong man is the right man. And all of these things. And I'm like, if we could just filter that better in the very top of the of that funnel, you know, we wouldn't be going down all these roads. Do you have any suggestions on how women can feel comfortable doing that? Because I think a lot of women maybe don't have the confidence to do that either, you know, or feel uncomfortable doing it maybe.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think a lot of women really do struggle with confidence when it comes to online dating. They're very worried about getting judged.
Right.
They're very worried about showing their true colors, asking the kind of questions like what you're talking about, asking questions to really kind of vet potential partners and figure out if this person is worth their time. And it's that fear and that lack of confidence that's really starting off the journey on the wrong foot.
So
first of all, if you are looking for, let's take your example, you're looking for a person who really loves to communicate.
Yeah.
I will give you one caveat with that, Sarah. You know, you and I could right now sit on this call and talk for the next
four hours. Yeah.
We could. Now that's us.
True.
We could.
That's
not most guys. You know, and all of my girlfriends are like this. I recently had a phone call with one of my best and dearest old friends, and we were on the phone for 5 hours, and I got off the phone and David was like, oh, I cannot believe you were talking for 5 hours. And it's, for me, that's like, I can talk to people for 5 hours. So David and I do not sit around and have 5 hour long conversations, but we do have an easiness and a flow in our conversation. We speak the same language in so many ways, but also there are differences in the way we communicate. And guess what? I like those differences. What I realize now, after I've been married to David for 2.5 years, I don't want a carbon copy of me.
Totally.
I don't want to be married to myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't. So he compliments me, his communication style, his energy, his body language, he compliments me. We're not the same though.
Right.
So that's the caveat that I'll say to you, that I get that you want someone who's a really strong communicator. That's a beautiful thing, but it might be in a different way than you communicate.
Very true. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so this is one of the reasons I really do think I'm a big, big proponent of meeting in person, and, you know, kind of quickly. I lengthy weeks going by with text messages and phone calls. I mean, why bother?
Why bother?
You know, why bother?
Get that first 5 minutes of meeting in person. You'd be like,
you'll know,
exit out the back door. Yeah.
You'll know. There'll either be, there's an energy. I mean, right. we are built for this, right? We humans are built for attracting each other. And so there will be an attracting energy or there won't be.
Exactly.
And if you find an attracting energy, then spend a little more time and get curious. Yeah. And curiosity is a really great quality in dating.
Absolutely. And,
you know, right? It really, really is. Get curious.
Probably one of the most important ones. Just ask questions. Ask any question. Yeah.
Yeah. And see how curious he is about you and how many questions. I mean, I have been on dates with men who, I swear to you, have not asked me one question.
Oh, so many. So many. Like 80%.
Are you kidding? Yeah. You have nothing.
It's like you can't even just volley it back. And you, what about you?
I know. So those kinds of meetings will be, you know, very clear to you. So when you see that, that will be when the communication really shows that it's, hey, this isn't going to work. You know, when you're sitting next to each other. But I just give you that caveat just because I personally am married to a man who doesn't speak the way I speak. He absolutely doesn't.
Yeah.
And to me, it's great. I mean, we have a beautiful relationship and I couldn't ask for anything more.
I think more than anything, it's about kind of like being heard and understood too.
Yeah.
In how you communicate. Like it definitely doesn't have to be a mirror, but there has to be like an absorption quality or what do they call it? Validation, right? Just some sort of understanding that, hey, I get you. We're on the same wavelength. We understand each other. Like you said,
I'm listening. Yeah. I'm learning. And, you know, sometimes I speak to David about things that are new for him,
right?
Like the level of kind of feelings conversations we have and, you know, and it's new for him because he wasn't ever with anybody who talked to him that way before. He wasn't raised that way. You know, he's a former professional hockey player. He was playing hockey for the formative years of his life. So he wasn't sitting around having big kumbaya conversations.
I get it.
But here's what he does though. He meets me in a place of I'm listening. This is cool. This is interesting. I want to learn more about this. I care about the way you feel, Nancy. I'm listening. And so like, let's keep talking. I mean, what more can you ask for? I love that. Yeah.
How many chances when someone is dating, especially in the early stages, say the first 2 months, 3 months, how many chances do you give someone if you've seen some red flags and you've talked to them? Let's say the first time they're like, absolutely, I hear you, I understand you. We're on the same page, not going to happen again. Something happens again that crosses your boundary, your healthy boundary. That is kind of the moment that I see a lot of women really falter there because they don't want to stand by the boundary, right? Because then that lack fear that you were talking about, I think really kicks into gear. And I was telling one girlfriend, I was like, you have to start thinking about the fact that you get to choose him. It's not just all the guys out there are, you have to convince them to choose you. Flip that upside down and say, hey, I'm also vetting you. I get to decide if you are right for me. And that mentality, I think, is pretty rare for a lot of women or pretty foreign for a lot of women because we were kind of raised a little bit to like, the guy comes to you, the guy picks you. And if he picks me and I like him, cool, we're good to go. But like flipping that upside down and thinking like, hey, I have some power here too. I get to make the choice. So what do you think is kind of healthy in that early stage to navigate him learning this person? And I want to give some grace as we learn each other, but then like, is there kind of a standard, you know, what's the moment where this is not healthy? It's like crossing the line.
I mean, here's my honest answer. You know,
your gut.
We all know when we are abandoning ourselves. all know when we're betraying our best interests, and we all know when we're ignoring red flags and looking the other way because we want to stay with this person, even though this person makes us feel bad, we feel sad, we feel lonely, it feels like a big bummer. I mean, all of those feelings, you know, your internal guidance system is all about your emotions. Your emotions are here for a reason. They're here to guide you. And all we have to do is listen to them. But so often we just pretend we don't notice them and no, that's not how I really feel about it. So the truth is, if you're saying to yourself, should I give him another chance? Even that languaging, then, you know, another chance because he screwed up so badly.
Right.
I mean, so I can honestly tell you there was never a moment in my dating, my courtship with David, where I said, I have to give this guy another chance because he just blew it. Never.
Wow.
Because he would never have done that because he wanted nothing more than to be with me and to seal the deal. Absolutely. So he wasn't out there, you know, risking bad behavior. So when you're saying to yourself, when you're negotiating with yourself against your best interests, and that's what that should I give him another chance conversation with yourself is, then you know that you're crossing your own lines. And here's the thing, you mentioned like, this is how we were raised. So true. Yeah. And especially women of, you know, this generation, 40s, 50s, 60s. Absolutely. And the thing about being raised to be a people pleaser, as most women I know were, because be a good little girl and be a people pleaser. Here's the problem with that. When you are bending over backwards, trying to please people, all those people learn to do is devalue you.
Amen.
They're just devaluing you left to right because they're seeing that you don't value yourself. So why should they value you? When you make it so easy for people to treat you badly and you're going to forgive them right away, boom, forgiven.
Yeah.
Then they devalue you. And then you are, again, you're starting a relationship off on a very wrong foot. So, you know, in business, how a while ago, there was always these business gurus talking about fail fast.
Right.
Fail fast. I say the same thing about dating. If after a couple of times, it's not lighting you on fire, bye.
Oh my God. Bye. I would have so much rather failed 3 months in with that one than a year in, but you know, you live and you learn. And I think, you know, if you are out there and you're dating and you're looking for love, learning about yourself, I think is really important too.
Yeah.
I really switched my mentality to, I want to understand myself. And if there's a spark and this turns into something awesome, great, but I'm not going in there like thinking that it has to. I want to learn how to be better for myself. I want to learn how to show up better.
Yeah.
And I want to learn how to adjust the behaviors that someone has told me I have from the last one that maybe I didn't know I had, right? Like I want to grow.
You want to grow. I mean, that's so here, this is a beautiful, I'm so glad you said this because here's what I learned on this search for love that lasted for 2 decades. That it was a beautiful opportunity for self-discovery.
Yes.
It was the most important journey of self-discovery I've ever taken because, you know, I got to think about who I want to be in a relationship. How do I want to show up for somebody that I love?
Yeah.
How do I want to show my love and how do I want to receive love? And it doesn't have to happen immediately. So this is an important thing to think about when you're dating. I think, especially when you're dating in the middle of life. You know, because we've been fed the rom-com, boo, wow, butterflies, you know, it can be, and maybe it really should be a slow roll. It started out nicely. You know, is it a nice conversation? Did you enjoy it? That's enough.
Yes.
You don't need butterflies in the stomach. You don't need to be feeling sick to your stomach and all nervous. Right. I mean, is that a good feeling? No, you can just be feeling like this was lovely. I like this guy. I'll see him again. Sure. Why not? Let the feelings unfold naturally and slowly. And even if it's more slowly than you're accustomed to, I know for myself, by my fourth date with David, he hadn't even kissed me yet. And I was like, what is with this guy? Is he ever going to kiss me? I think I even said to him, are you ever going to kiss me? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And we laugh about it now. And he's like, yeah, it was all part of my plan. Look at us now.
So
what are you going to say? It was wrong?
Right.
A slow roll where you really
feel
your way through it and really think about and let it be a journey of discovery, self-discovery, mutual discovery, slow roll, take your time and don't expect the big flash, pow, biz, bang, like don't expect that in the beginning. And then just just enjoy the process and enjoy what you're figuring out along the way. That's what this is about too. It is about self-love and self-awareness too.
Yeah. What is one of the biggest tips you give women in the middle of life to find love, whether they've been single for 20 years or they're 2 years out of a 30-year marriage?
Well, so the biggest thing that when people come to me about this, we talk about confidence, right? Because that's the big thing. That is the big pivotal lack of confidence. I haven't dated in a while. I'm kind of nervous to get back out there, or I've been dating for years. I just don't care anymore. Or I took a long hiatus. It just feels overwhelming. It feels like it's impossible. All of that is lack of confidence. That's really where it all comes down to. And even if these women are confident people in life, you know, business owners and great friends, and they have amazing relationships with the people that they love, it's that lack of confidence in romantic love, lack of confidence to find this partner. So I always say this, let's start with, how do you want to give love? Start with, how do you want to show up? Because
you control it. Wait before you somebody, you can start working on it now. Yeah,
totally. It's not about just about how you want to feel, even though that's very important. And that's a huge part of it too, but start with how do I want to give love?
Yeah.
And so we all have, I call these like your hidden gems. We all have these things, the ways that we show love to the people that we love in our lives. Like for me, I'm a home cook. I love to cook.
Me too. That's total love. Yeah.
That's for me. That's love. I mean, let me put a plate of food down in front of you and watch you eat it. Seriously, that gives me so much happiness. So I know that I want to be that nurturing, sort of homey, beautiful, nurturing energy for someone. I also know that I love to make people laugh and feel lighthearted, especially if they're feeling sad or down. I love to bring the energy up in a room. So these are ways that I like to give love. Yeah. And when you start thinking about that for yourself, what are some of the unique, interesting, beautiful ways you love people? That really is a confidence booster. It shows you how completely valuable you are in all of these lives that you touch.
And how lovable you are.
You're lovable because you're giving love, and love is a two-way street. When you give it, you receive it.
Yeah.
So I always start there because I really do feel like women are having, especially women in the middle of life, this crisis of confidence about finding love. And I want them to get close to and reacquainted with that beautiful, loving energy that they have already.
Absolutely. And I think you just hit on something so, so important for manifesting anything, but, you know, especially love. When I am giving away the love that, you know, when I'm treating people with the type of love that I would like to receive, or when I'm giving that away and I'm not, you know, entering a new dating thing or even on the apps or whatever, going like, how are you going to love me? How are you going to do this for me? How are you going to, you know, like there's a lot of that energy, I think, out there. And it's like, whoa, you know, like what happened to, I want to know how I am going to show up. I want to know if that works for you. If that, you know, and I think there's something so powerful about knowing that about yourself and then asking those questions about your partner to know that as well, because I do believe in the love languages. I do believe that understanding how someone receives love is so important, because if you're only giving it the way that you receive it, you might be missing the mark entirely. So having that empathy and that understanding and that curiosity that you were talking about is just such an important, so important regardless of where you're at in your relationship, I think, if it hasn't been part of that.
Totally. Totally. And sometimes I think when you're reading profiles, it almost feels like people are ordering off a menu.
Right.
Like they're telling you what you need to be.
Yep.
You know, you know how people start their profile. I always tell people when you're writing your profiles, I have a freebie on my website about how to write the perfect profile, write your best ever profile. And I start with saying, you're not ordering off a menu. Yeah. You know, don't tell them what they need to be. Talk about who you are and what you want and why it matters
to
you.
What
makes you happy, how you want to show up. I mean, it really is the story of you.
Yeah.
And so if profiles were more like that, if people were giving us the story of them, that's fascinating.
Absolutely. You
know, right. It's a totally different energy. So when we can start reframing and shifting the mindset, the energy around this, I feel like we're all going to become more available to each other.
Absolutely. What do you tell the woman who's just kind of given up hope? right? Like she's just like, maybe it's not for me. You know, really buying into, I'm grateful for where I'm at, which is great. There's always, you know, I think of it as like a 50-50 relationship. I do want to be grateful for my life where it's at, but I also don't want to stop expecting the universe to bring more, you know, like, but how do you get over that if you've kind of like convinced yourself, my life is fine, I'm good.
Yeah.
This is all there is.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that woman because I was that woman. Yeah. I said that to myself. I was in my mid-50s and I said, that's it. You know, I'm not going to find anyone. This is not going to be my story this time around. I have a beautiful life. I have two amazing children who I adore. I've got gorgeous friends. I've got a career I like. I'm good.
Right.
And I convinced myself about that. And I almost really did close the door. But here's what I would say if that's where you're at. If there is that missing piece in your life, if it's a feeling that you have, and again, we're going to come back to feelings. If your feelings are telling you there's a missing piece, because you don't guess what, Sarah, there's nothing wrong with being single.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being single. I was single for most of, you know, two decades. And you're single right now. Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong. And we can be perfectly beautiful, happy, fully actualized people.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you're looking for love and if there is that missing piece, don't turn away from it. Turn toward it. Turn toward it, because would there be any other thing in your life that you knew you wanted to accomplish and manifest and you convinced yourself otherwise? No. What would your advice be?
Yeah.
Do it. Go for
Absolutely.
It. Turn toward the missing piece and explore your feelings around it and explore your truth around it. And if having a partner and finding love is truly important to you, believe me when I tell you, you can have it.
Yes.
You can have the love life you want.
Oh,
that is
it.
The truth.
I amen to that. Absolutely. I know so many examples of it. You're such a beautiful example of it, Nancy. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and your beautiful love story with all of us. Where should everyone go to get your freebies, to get all the knowledge? And obviously they need to go subscribe right now to your podcast, Finding Love Podcast. So add that to your list, y'all.
Yeah. So go to findinglove.co. That's my website. And I've got four really great freebies all about profiles and mindset and writing the story of you. And yeah, subscribe to my podcast, the Finding Love Podcast. You can find me on YouTube. And drop me a comment. You can send me a comment at nancy@findinglove.co. If you've got any questions, any comments about finding love, I answer every single email I get because I love these stories. I mean, I can't get enough of them.
So fulfilling. Thank you so much once again for sharing everything and doing what you do, because we need it and we need all that love, positive energy out in here. All right, everybody, until next time, get out there and hustle and thrive.
Thanks for listening. And remember, if you got value from today's show, please spread the love by clicking subscribe, leaving a stellar review, and telling everyone you know. And join us next time on the Sarah Centrella Show.